Okay, we started. Hello, my name is Miss Parker and I'm with RV Project Help. And welcome to this program this evening. This audio file has several documents that you will need to understand the audio file. Those documents are in RV Project Help. The name of the documents are Transition Staff to Arrange For, Sample 10, 30, 90 Day Plans, Staffing to Arrange, Bank Appointment for Currency Exchange Checklist. No, you don't need that one. Never mind. Erase, erase, erase. And then another document said the first 30 to 90 days. And although they both sound a lot alike, they're actually two completely different documents. And I didn't know how to name them differently. So I've just got them on there. I'm going to read a liability disclaimer and then we'll get into this. Again, my name is Ms. Parker and I'm with RV Project Help. The material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers, nor are we financial advisors. You should be using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. While I do endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind expressed or implied about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability, ability with the respect to the audio file, website, information, product, services, or related graphics contained on this website for any purpose. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. That was a lot. It always is every time. But I like that I have it. So this is kind of a topic that I really did not go over very well. I'm lighting a joint so I can think better. This was a topic I did not go over very well or in depth because up until very recently, I did not realize how actually very important this topic was. Part of what happened is one of the, I'd said this in other audio files and I said it before, but I just want to get it on the recording. But we had a person actually use this these documents in a different country. And the report that I got back is the reason why I'm changing what I'm saying and I'm making it more current. So if you open up, the first document I'd like you to open up is called Sample 10, 30, 90 Day Plans. Now, this is just the startup plans, okay? This doesn't have your emergency funds on it, none of that crap. This is just the startup, okay? Now, you can do your emergency information on this, but I would suggest that you do not. Because you want your emergency needs document to be a standalone document on a single piece of paper. So, how would you use this 10-day, 30-day, 90-day plan? Folks, this is your secret weapon. This was the thing that most people are not taking with them, and most people do not understand the importance. Now, in the documents that I showed you, let me go up here and post a document. So if you look at, if you look at this document, okay, I just posted EO13790, Feed the World Clean Copy. If you look at that document, what you're going to see, we're going to discuss what's in this document first. So that you understand what we're doing in the project, okay? So every single person's 10-day, 30-day, 90-day list is going to be completely different. And that document is going to be based on your humanitarian project, okay? So print out your humanitarian project, have it with you in front of you in front of the computer. By having it in the printed form, it will make it much easier for you to go back and edit on the 10-day form, okay? So
for just for shits and grins, we're going to pretend that this document is your personal Humanitarian Foundation document, okay? Everything that we need to make the 10, 30, and 90-day plan is in your document that you're going to turn in, okay? So before you start filling out this 10-day, 30-day, whatever, have this set up for you. I guess I'm going to do this one. I was going to do the emergency plan first, but I'm so in the game of doing this one first. I guess I'm going to do this one first. So forgive me. I'm off track today. So print out this. And then the next thing you want to print out is, let's see. The next thing you want to print out is the document that says first 30 to 90 days. Now, if you print out this document, so you have your trust document or your project document, and you have this document that says the first 30 to 90 days. What this document is this is your cheat sheet of information, okay? This is what you're going to add into your project, okay? Because you don't know the names of the people, that doesn't mean anything. You still need to know the action of what you need to do. This will make more sense as we get along. So print out that document, have your humanitarian project printed out, and then the next thing you want to do is you want to open up the document that says staffing to arrange, okay? All three of these documents are what you're going to use to fill out your sample 10, 30, 90-day plans, okay? Once you have all three of these documents out and as much as you've done on them, then you can go back and fill out your 10, 30, and 90-day plan. This plan is very important, folks, because one of the things we got back on the feedback is all of my documents, I ask people to give a growth goal. What are you trying to do year one? What are you trying to do year two? Well, apparently when one of these documents got looked at really hard, they wanted to know growth goals for 5 years, not two. And they wanted to know what your immediate plans were. You see, folks, I don't think there's going to be enough of them to oversee us. So in order to make it easier for you and them, if you show that you have an idea of what you're about to do, whether or not you know how to do it, just knowing the steps will put you leaps and bounds above everybody else. It's sort of like, it's sort of like you're going to take a bath, okay? And when you go to take a bath, you go to your closet, and you're going to go get your clean clothes. You put those in the bathroom, and then you're going to go make sure you have soap, and you're going to make sure you have shampoo. You're going to have a nice fluffy towel, and then you know that you're going to get in the bath. You're going to pour the water first. You're going to have hot water, then cold water. Make it nice and comfortable. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to lather yourself up. And then the next thing you're going to do is you wash yourself off. And the next thing you're going to do is get out and dry yourself off. And then you're going to you're going to brush your teeth, comb your hair, put your clothes on, put deodorant on, then put your clothes on. It's all the steps that you take to get dressed in the morning and to take a bath and get ready for either bed or work, whatever you're going to do before you take a bath. What this sample 90-day, 30-day plan is your steps of how you're going to start your program, okay? So they know that you don't know, okay? They know that. This does not have to be perfect. In fact, it doesn't even have to be right. What it has to be is done, because there are two kind of people that are going to come to this thing. There's going to people that are going to go in
kick ass, take names, go home and get going. The other kind of people are going to go in there, give them all the information, sit back and say, serve me, tell me what I need to do. What do I need to do? Those people are going to go into a group because they're not self-starters. They're not go-getters. They don't really have something in their heart kicking them in the ass going, go, go, go. Here's what you do. Okay. If you're sitting here thinking, fuck Parker, I don't know how to do any of that shit. That's okay. We're going to show you. Okay. Don't stress. This is actually really easy. And it's, believe it or not, if you don't know how to do any of this, it's actually way easier because then you don't have any bad habits. This is important. So all you have to do is have the tools. What you're showing them is that you can put together structure, you can go get tools, and you can have a plan. And I'm telling you, folks, there's not a lot of people in this world that do this anymore. So these kind of things count and they're noticed, okay? By taking these bits of information, even if they're totally wrong, it shows that you're thinking of your project and you're not sitting on your laurels. You're ready to go. Those kind of people, I believe, will have a different type of overseer because they know that, hey, you're taking into advantage and into account all these things that may trip you up. If you've never done anything like this at all, one of the first things you're going to do is you're going to, at some point, where it says the first 30 to 90 days, take that document. And on the bottom of that document, write down things that you know you're going to need. So you're going to need to hire a CEO to scaffold education, personal skills to, what's the word? To lead your project as a CEO. So under the first 30 to 90 days, file, save as, browse. So what I've done, here, I'm going to post this picture. The first 30 to 90 days, what I did is I took this document and I added a line of what I need to be. So you'll see the first 30 to 90 days, you'll see 1 through 13. And then it's got, you might need these people based on how much you have, and what your plans are. And then you're going to see a sentence that says, hire CEO to scaffold personal skills to lead your project as CEO. That's a task that you have to do. Okay. That task is going to go on your sample 10, 30, 90 day plan. On the first 30 to 90 day list, you're going to start putting things on this list that you have to put on your sample. The reason why you don't put it on your sample in the beginning is because until you figure out what you have to have, you won't know where to put everything. Lisa, I will kick you if you don't turn off your mic. Turn off your mic, Lisa. Thank you. Can't handle it, folks. I don't have the ability to do it. So I apologize, but I just can't do it. So these things are part of what you have to get done. Okay. So now let's go over to the list that says staffing and arrange personnel. Okay. The staffing list was for another, a different chat I did. And that was to give you, to start thinking about what you're going to have for your project. Okay. So on the first 30 to 90 days, look at that staffing list and remove the items that are already on the first 30 to 90 days. So, accounting is on there. So we're going to remove that one. Edit. So we're going to remove accounting.
And administrative assistant, is that on there? Personal assistant, trustees, philanthropic, financial. Nope, that one's not on there, so that gets to stay. Art advisory. If you have an art collection that has to do with your business or your program, then you're going to leave that on. I don't have that on there, so I'm going to take it off. Asset manager. I'm going to leave that on. It doesn't look like that's on there. AV safety agent. I'm not going to be flying a plane. My brand identity. I don't need that. That's not on the 30-day list. The charity and financial, that's on the philanthropic. That's what charity and philanthropic means. So I'm going to erase that one. Compliance oversight. I'm not doing a licensed business that has to have compliance like cannabis or insurance or something that has, or hairdressing salon, something that has licensing with it. So I don't need that. Concierge is not on there. A consultancy is not on there. I'm not going to get digital gold. Digital privacy and cybersecurity, that's going to be my security advisor. So I'm going to remove that one. A consultant for education. I don't have that on the first 30-day list. I'm going to use that one. Employee screening would be HR. I'm going to leave that alone. Events. I'm not going to have any events the first 90 days. So I'm going to remove that one. The family office one, I'm going to leave that on there. I'm going to remove the genealogy and family history. I don't need that for my first startup. Every position that is not on the first 30 to 90 days, but it is on the staffing, you're going to copy that and you're going to put it on the first 30 days. So that's what you're hearing me doing. Home entertaining and party services, I'm not going to need that. Independent wealth management, that's your wealth strategist. Your insurance is on there. So those two things I don't need. Interior design is not on there. I'm going to need that. International foreign exchange. I'm not going foreign in the beginning. Legal is on there, so I remove that. Medical and health. Is that on there? Nope, that's on there. Not on there. Mobile, the governance, I don't need that. The family offices, I will need. Property advisory. Is there? Nope, leave that on there. We're going to just leave property advisor. We're going to take all the rest of it. Security managing, that's part of my security advisor. Security advisor, I don't need the wills yet. Technology, I don't need. Training, I do need. Trust, I do need. Venture capitalist, nope. VIP travel, that'll be my concierge. So now I've taken that list and I've removed everything I believe is on the other one. So I'm going to copy that list, what's left. And I'm going to add that to the first 90-day list. Okay. File. Save. Now that list looks like this. So what I'm doing is I'm combining the information onto one document. So now you close the staffing to arrange document. Now you cut down your documents. Now you've got the first 90 days document and you've got your project document. Those are what you need. That's should be between those two documents. You'll have information of everything that you need to put on your 10-day plan, your 90-day plan, and your 30-day plan. So the document that I have in here, the 90-day, 10, 30, 90-day plan, it's not complete. And there's areas that are not in here yet. And I left it open. So you can adjust this as you want. I'm going to take the 90-day plan. I should have inserted this already. Control copy. Insert copied cells. And this is 30. So So this. Delete. File save. Let's put this one in here instead, folks, because I missed some information. I didn't have a 30-day document in here. So we're going to update that one. And here's the sample 10-30-90. Send. So now it should have the 30-day and the 90-day there. And now it's all in there. But let me erase this one because that one's the bad one. Delete. Okay. So now you've got the three areas of your first 30, 90, and 10 days. When I'm talking about a 10-day plan, a 30-day plan, and a 90-day plan, this is what you're going to start after or when you are ready to start your program. There are some of you that they can't start their program in the first 10 days because they have to give a 2-week job notice. There are some people that are home builders that are doing this, and they can't walk off the job or the customer will sue them. So they may not be able to finish the home they're working on for another month and a half, okay? Some of you may decide, screw this cruel world. I'm going to go stick my toes in the sand, and I need to be having rum drinks on the beach for, 2 weeks before I can get my head wrapped around this. So your first 10 days are not the first 10 days after you get your money. It's the first 10 days of when you're deciding to start. So if you get your project approved, you get your money, and you got all through that stuff, you're going to tell them, look, I'm going to start my humanitarian projects on XYZ day. So sit down now and figure out when you're going to start. There are some of you that are going to say, screw this job, I'm starting tomorrow, And if that's the case, then start your 10-day plan on the first day. But there's nothing that says that you have to start it immediately. I don't think you can go past 30 days. I wouldn't suggest you do that because you don't want to look like, oh, I don't give a shit. Now, if you have a reason for waiting, that's one thing. Say you've got say your partner is very sick and you can't start your RV project until your partner gets into the med bed. Whatever your reason is for not starting or when you're going to start, that doesn't matter. But on the top of this document in line 3, write, I plan to start my humanitarian project on XYZ day. So that you know and they know that you're not starting on day one, okay? Now, if you are going to mess around, like go to the beach, take some time off, but you still want to percolate, you want to get free stuff done, you can add lines to this plan that say what you want to do before. So what I'm doing, I have opened up my 10-day plan. I'm going to post this in just a minute so you can see what I'm doing. Home, emergency center, wrap text. There we go. Cancel. Wrap text. Okay. While on my vacation, I will be researching companies for security, deciding which HR company to use, making sure there is a company for security, deciding which HR company to use, that's a period, that's not a comma. I will be interviewing wealth management businesses, family office, and family governance companies, COMPANI. Oh, I forgot the P. MPANIS. As well as reaching out to family members who are unaware, you goofy, that I am including them into the family governance. I will get my current home ready for sale. I will reach out to friends and family to get their ideas on how they wish to start their projects with me. Okay. File. Save as. So here's what it looks like now. If you're going to goof off and go to the beach, or if you're going to go do something, you've got family that you're going to go see, whatever the reason is, above your 10-day plan, that's day one. Oh, shoot. I erased the words day one here. Hold on. Day one. Here, let me save that one. File. Save. I hate when I make mistakes. I seriously hate it. There you go. Okay. Delete the wrong one. Okay. So now you've got pre-starting. What are you going to do? You're telling them, I'm not starting until XYZ day. And so before I'm starting, I'm actually doing some pre-work. And so just write down what you're going to research or what you're going to do. If you're not going to do any of that, just say, hey, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I'm going to go vacation, or whatever the reason is, you're not going to start on day one. I don't believe they care one way or another if you start on day one or not. I don't think that's important. I think what's important is just that they know when you're planning on starting. Okay? So you've got your list now of all the things that you're planning on doing, and you've got your humanitarian project, and it's sitting side by side. So the first thing you have to do is figure out what is the most important thing to you. I've got the first 30 to 90 days. There's a list of things: your CPA, your tax accountant, your state or trust attorney, your wealth strategist, your financial officer. There's a whole list of people that you're going to need to either find, or they're going to be a part of your family governance management company. Until you start these interviews with these different companies, you don't know what areas of those things will be involved or what will not be involved, okay? So the first day, exchange day, I'm asking for a personal banker, assistant, and relations manager. I'm going to figure out if I have a banker, if I'm going to be signed to a banker. That's one of the big first questions. Now, I will probably, on exchange day, I will probably get that information. I may get it or I may not get it. If I don't get it, then it becomes a list on my list of things to do. Okay. You're going to make that request. So you may decide that there's things on day two, day three. I filled out these things just to give you some ideas of what you should be looking at. Okay. Get additional cash if needed. Get a preload debit card in your name only. I just put, you know, 25 to 35,000, but I didn't think about people that had, you know, immediate needs. So don't pay. Let just here in my name for emergency. Emergency funds. So I'm going to change that for emergency funds. Get credit cards. You want to make sure, or you want to be careful with your credit card. Living in Vegas, when you see a black card get pulled out, everybody looks, because everybody knows that's a rich bitch. Okay. You get a platinum card pulled out, where it's platinum card, same response. So what I would suggest is, if you can, when you can get in to see your bank, ask for the black card for when you need the fucking juice, and then ask for a regular looking credit card, so that people don't realize your net worth. If they look at the, if you pull out a black credit card, folks, people, enemies, thieves, they absolutely know what those things look like. It may be new to you, but it's not going to be new to the bad guys. It's a security issue. Now, there are two types of things you need to consider: the structure of the plans and the people that you have to put into your system, and as well as the project itself. So when you look at, you go back and read your project, what's your project objectives? Long-term food storage, production of non-GMO seed, give communities access to profits by doing a profit share, improving land quality, grow better crops, okay? Growth goals, year one, build community centers, distribute grow kits, training, okay? Out of all of those things, are any of those things stuff that you can start? Yes, it is. The first thing that you're looking at is build community centers. So you're going to need to buy the property. So someplace between day one, day two, day 10, you're going to get a clean, clear sheet, and you're going to go start the buying property for your project. Or if you're doing long-term storage, you're going to have to get storage equipment, buy your property. So this one, so my second day, is I'm going to meet with a private banker. And on the right, I'm going to say, get clean, clear letter. And on day three, I'm going to put call. Well, actually, I would put it on day 10 because I want to meet with my managers first. But just figure out the days. It doesn't matter what day. Okay. So call real estate agent. Agent for property purchase. Okay. So your notes are where you tie an action to the person. Why are you calling that person? What's your reason for doing this? So you're going to meet with a private banker. You're going to set up a lot of stuff. But one of the things you need for your project is to get a clean, clear letter. What else do you need? Okay. Long-term food storage. Okay. So at some point you're going to, on one of these days, I'm going to put it in, research long-term food storage solutions. And you're going to do production of non-GMO seed. So you are going to resource non-GMO seed. And then because you're going to charcoal those seeds, you're going to resource seed charcoaling equipment. These are the things that you're going to need to start your business. So you start listing out the people that you have to resource to get what you need done. Okay. So improve farmland quality for higher crop yields. That's not something you need to do immediately. Grow better crops. That's through an education system. So you're going to need to hire education team leader. That's what you're going to do someplace in your first 10 to 90 days. Okay. What I've done is I've taken my project and I've looked at my project and I figure out what things do I have to have in it that I need to do immediately in the first 30 days. So in the first 30 days, I'm going to go down to expected staff needs. I'm going to look at that list. Do I need a CEO, a board of directors the first 30 days? Maybe not a board of directors. You are going to need a CEO and a CFO within the first 90 days or something like that. So down on 90 days, I'm going to put this in here and you can figure out where you want to put it in on yours. And it's going to be hire CEO, CFO. And here's something about a CEO, okay? If your CEO says to you, do you have a CFO? You say no. You always say no. Never, 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 never tell the CEO that you have a CFO, even if you already have one. And there's a reason for it. The best CEOs, they will have a sidekick. And that sidekick is their CFO. Those two people, a CEO and a CFO team, they're a team that are highly experienced. You want somebody that's pre-IPO, post-IPO. They've taken a company before it went to the stock market. They've taken it to the stock market. They put it on the stock market successfully, and they golden parachuted out. That's who you're looking for as a CEO. Even if you're hiring a CEO as your he's going to be your scaffold. He's going to teach you how to do your job, okay? If you're going to hire a CEO, okay, so notes on hiring a CEO. Develop a offer for a 5-year contract. By putting develop an offer for a 5-year contract, that's telling anybody that looks at your notes, your plans, that you're not planning to hire a CEO for, oh, I'm going to hire you for 5 months and I'm going to know everything about running this business. Bullshit. They go to college for 4 years. Then they've spent 10 years, 20 years, 30 years on the project, on projects. They didn't get this information in 5 days or 5 months. So you want to have a contract with a CEO for 5 years minimum, okay? That's going to be who you're going to learn how to be a CEO from. Now, if you plan on hiring a CEO and you have no intentions of running the project, you still are going to make an offer. But you could make an offer, a bigger offer, a 10-year contract, 20-year contract, a contract based on action. You're hired a CEO until the day we go post-IPO. Once we're on the stock market, we're good. I don't know how that's going to work with humanitarian projects, because in your personal family governance, you can have a business that's an actual business that makes money as long as you take a percentage of that business profit
and you put it into your humanitarian project, because that is going to be a cash generator to maintain after 100 years. It may take you 100 years to get your family governance making money. It just depends on what you're doing. So you're going to hire a CEO, CFO. If you don't know what you're doing, if you've never run a multi-million dollar company, do not believe that you can do this shit on your own. Because here's the thing, folks. If you're the CEO, really, just go out to a shooting range and go get one of those red targets, those big, nice red targets that you shoot at, and just stick it on your back. Because you are the target for everything when you're the CEO. You don't want that pressure. You want to be able to drive this team. You don't want to be in the shooting range. You want to be able to talk to the CEO, make decisions with the CEO, and let the CEO help you and guide you through this and take their advice. If you thought they were good enough to hire, you better take their advice. Have your CEO interviewed by your wealth management company. If you don't know a good CEO, a badass CEO, ask your wealth management company. They may know somebody. If you don't want anybody involved, anybody like the new wealth management company, HR company, some of the best ways to get a good CEO is the craziest way you're ever going to hear. Toastmasters. Toastmasters is always the heads of company. Sometimes there'll be major heads of companies that will be at Toastmasters. I've had some of the best referrals for CEOs going to Toastmaster meetings. Start going to Toastmaster meetings, folks. If you're dying and you're just crazy waiting for this God-blessed stuff to go off, go find your local Toastmasters. Going to a Toastmasters right now is the best thing you can do for yourself, because you're going to get example after example after example of professional looking and professional speaking people. If you don't know how to be professional, go to a Toastmasters. They're on point. They give you hints. And you can find amazing mentors at Toastmasters, and you can find potential CEOs, especially if you're in large cities. It's not so much in smaller cities, and you're going to have to reach out to your bank or to your get a referral from a headhunter, not your bank. I wouldn't go to my bank. A headhunter, the wealth management team, get a referral from one of those people. Now, let's go back to CFO, okay? When I first started doing this, I never, ever, ever, never, never would hire a CFO that knew the CEO. And my mentor, he didn't know this. He was like, he's not in cannabis. He's a traditional business guy. So he has a CFO that if they don't hire the CEO, CFO, he doesn't go. If they don't offer the CFO a job, he doesn't go to work for that company. There's a serious reason for it. Because of my background in cannabis, I don't want nobody to know anybody. I want you all to be working alone, because I don't want nobody to be cheating on me, this, that, the other thing. I'm always suspicious. In business, it doesn't work that way. It's the exact opposite. You want people that have connections. So a really good CEO is going to be a Batman, and he's going to have a Robin. The CFO knows the CEO because they've been working together for years. They usually work like yin and yang, because the CFO already knows what strategies the CEO is going to use and will set up the company for success. CFO decides, helps with budgeting, all kinds of stuff. A good CFO is going to have major contacts, and you're going to need all of those. So for years, I would not hire a CEO I would not offer a CEO that said, hey, I have a CFO that I want to come with me. if they said that, I would say, no, I'm only hiring you. Tom explained to me that all of the people that is his category, he's pre-IPO, post-IPO, he's taken four companies successfully, has four different major golden parachutes from a job well done from each one of these companies he's taken to the stock exchange, which is really funny. When I told him that I actually was day trading and didn't know I was doing it. But he's the bomb. I mean, this guy, his starting wage is $1 million a year, and that's in traditional business. I mean, that's not RV money. That's like hard money. He is very rare, very expensive, and very, very good. So the way he explained it is that there is so much of a learning curve between a CEO and a CFO. And if they get along well, the companies usually explode. If you have two of these people that are dependent, and they're yin and yang, because the CEO is always dependent on the CFO to let them know where they are financially and where operations are, all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of information that these two men are constantly working together to get right. If they don't get along, they won't tell you as the owner. They'll just fucking fight with each other and just wreck the company from the inside. And if they don't like each other, it doesn't matter if it's a humanitarian project, it doesn't matter if it's a company, it doesn't matter. They will fight, and they will fight furiously. And because each man has power in a business or a humanitarian, I always say company because I'm sorry, that's my background. But a business and a humanitarian project, same. You both have a product that you're out, you're trying to get out for free or for sale, okay? But if these two guys, gal or guy or whatever they are, well, I don't like that pronoun crap, but male or female, whatever they are, if they don't like each other, you are so screwed. It makes your life a living hell. So if you've got a CEO that you're interviewing and they said, hey, do you have a CFO? Even if you have a CFO, say no. Because if the guy's badass, he's probably going to have a CFO. Tom has met a couple of really high-end CEOs that did not have a sidekick that worked with them for years and years. But when he would make it a caveat of being hired that he would get to choose the CFO. Say yes, folks. Don't say no to that. That's really important to have your project run smoothly. And for those of you that are doing national and global projects, this advice becomes even stronger, because those kind of guys, when you're dealing with that kind of money for national or global, you want these two people to work together like peas in a pod. So if they come as a team, hire them as a team. Sorry, I went off on that little bit of a tangent, but it's so freaking important. And like I said, I didn't know. So I had two companies that I were helping. I helped start. And they're my biggest regret, because I would not hire a CFO and a CEO that knew each other. I always made sure they didn't, because I didn't know any better. I was good at growing weed. I was just learning how to do the rest of the shit at that point. And until I talked to Tom and understood why it was so important in traditional business, I wouldn't have known that. So it's important. Let's see, what else can we talk about on this? So back to your thing. So I'm going to hire somebody, taxes and accounting. I believe that your taxes and accounting and that kind of stuff will probably be done by your wealth management team or a standalone team. So until I would, on my list, I would have my wealth management relationship bank set up a manager with three trust managers. Okay, so NAPFA. Let's see if I can put that on board. www. No, that's too many W's. There's no four W's. No four W's. NAPFA. Or
Let's make sure this is still, yeah, here we go. This is super cool. This organization is a way for you to start researching who you want to hire to do your, these are personal financial advisors, okay? That's one thing. Now, I'm going to show you another thing. STEP. There we go. This one, if you're going to do wealth management, okay, this website is a website of people. It's called STEP. And these are family governance people. What they do is, I just found out about this. I'm actually going to use this. This is one of my new resources. This is a company that assesses family governance organizations and then awards them. So when you look at this, you can look at who was the best in their industry. And you look at the awards and it tells you who won. Well, when you find out who won, that person's doing a really darn good job. So when you find out who won, then you look up those companies. And if you've got an office in your area, that's who I would call first to interview for family governance. So I put NAPFA on there. And then where it says notes, I'd put step.org on there. .step.org. And then this is wstep.org research. Oh, that's step, damn it. STEP dot, that's an O, you goof. Org. Research fam governance, and this one would be research taxes. Okay, file, save. Now I'm going to show you what this document looks like. I've been adding stuff to it. This is what the document looks like now that I've added more information into it. So now you've got notes on different things to ask your branch manager. Okay, go back to your project. So you've got staff labor, your CEO is going to help you hire people. This one has grow kits on it, so it's a project we have to make. Okay, I don't need to get suppliers for that or start working on that until after we have a facility. So that's not something I need for my first 90 days. Equipment. What kind of equipment do I need to do what I'm going to do with my project? Look back at your project and say, I need a charcoaler. Oh, okay. So I'm going to need a seed charcoaler and everything else I can make phone calls on. So I'm going to do in the first 90 days, purchase a seed charcoaler, purchase a seed charcoaler. So that, like, equipment for many businesses, you order it and it takes 6 weeks, 10 weeks to show up. I know that a seed charcoaler is going to take 2.5 months to get. So I know if I'm planning to start my project in January, I need to get a seed charcoaler ordered so that my seed charcoal will get here in time to be ready to use when I want to start day one, or when I start production of my company. Okay, so the next thing on there, okay, I went through equipment, buildings. I've looked at, I put, get a, I needed a clean, clear copy to get a building. Oh, I might need a contractor. So in the first 90 days, I'm going to hire a research contracting companies. So you're going to research contracting companies so that if your property doesn't have a building on it, can you hire a contracting company? Okay. Put that on your first 90 day list. Okay. The next thing is raw materials. So in your first 90 day plan, you're going to source raw materials. And then on it notes, ask if this is done through concierge services. Any kind of notes, okay? The canning plant, that's not something that gets done in stage two, so that's not in the first 90 days. Marketing, I'm going to have to hire a marketing company. Actually, I won't need to hire a marketing company because that won't probably kick in until 6 months. So that's not going to be in my 90-day plan. At this point, this is all the information. Save. This is all the information I've pulled off of my project. So this is what the document looks like with all the information pulled off of the project. Okay. And the project sample I'm using is EO13790, Feed the World Clean Copy. This is where I'm getting the information up and I'm reading and I'm explaining to you what we take off of the plan and what we add into our 10, 30, and 90 day plan. All the information I believe I need to get off of this plan, I've gotten. So now I'm going to close this document because I don't need it anymore. The document that you're going to go look at now is the one that we combined all the list on. So now I go over this list and I think about what of these people do I have to have on my, that I have to meet up with, okay? So do I need a CPA or general accountant? Well, I believe because I'm going to do a family management, I'm not going to need that. I think that's going to be in a family management. So will a tax accountant. I am going to need a lawyer. Okay, so a trust attorney, you're going to use a lawyer to do many major purchases. You want a lawyer instead of a real estate agent. So I'm going to do, in my 90-day plan, I'm going to add this in here so we can add it later. Hire a lawyer. This is a trust lawyer. On my 10 days, on my second day, I'm going to, let's see, insert. So I am going to 12 research trust lawyer. So that's going to be immediately because my trust makes me worried. So I want to have my trust perfect. So I'm going to start calling trust lawyers right in the beginning. Now, if you're not starting immediately, in your pre-startup, that may be in the very top where I talked to you about while I'm on vacation. While I'm on vacation, you could also be researching trust lawyers. Just depends on where you want to put that at. Okay, so wealth strategist, I'm not gonna, that's gonna be family management. I don't need that. A chief financial officer, that is gonna be somebody that you're going to probably meet through the CEO. So hold off on putting that on there for your first 90 days. An investment advisor, that's probably going to be your wealth management team that you're going to meet with. You'll have a transition team. So that one won't really work. Philanthropic is not going to be important your first 90 days. Trust manager, that's part. And then on 90 day, and where it says hire lawyer, advise for trust manager. So you're going to hire a trust lawyer, and you're going to have him advise you on who to hire as a trust manager. And then board of trustees for the core trust. I'm not even going to work on my board for the first 90 days because I don't really know where that's going to go yet. My personal assistant, that's really important. So I'm going to interview for personal assistants on my first 10 days. So I'm going to add that up there. So I'm actually going to interview and hire a personal assistant. Security advisor, that's going to be, I'm going to hire a security team immediately. So that'll be in the first 10 days. Now we go to the other list. Acquisitions, I think that's going to be in with the wealth management team is probably going to help with acquisitions. Most of the rest of these things, unless that applies to you immediately, like I'm not going to hire somebody immediately for family office solutions until I have a family office manager. Family office company, consultants. I believe when we go to meet with our team, they're going to have a bunch of consultants for us to interview at that time. Governance specialists, that just depends on what your project is. Interior design and consultancy. If you're going to be staying in your house, hire an interior designer. Because you want, if you have a big enough house to stay in, hire an interior designer. Get your house looking sharp, sharp, sharp. You feel better when your house looks like it's amazing. And you don't want people to come to your house thinking you're a slouch if you're trying to run a national or an international program. So if you're staying in your house, hire a interior designer and have them make your house look on point. Put that in there. You can pretty much go through and read the rest of this and add it into your list. And the bottom, there has an advisory team. This is information that once you do your research, you can put the names of those teams on your project, on your sample plans, on your plans. Now, I'm also gonna write up here in 90 days, choose business, educational, a purchase, three, business, educational books. Book and educational class. Why that? You are going to need education. There's just no two ways around it. If you go to Barnes and Noble's, go look through the business education books,
Find a book that looks interesting to you. Anything that you can do to educate yourself right now is really important, because it's really hard when you get into a company and they're talking over your head because you don't have the background. So I'm planning on getting QFS. I want to do the quantum financial system. I want to get a book to read about that. I want to get a book to read about hemp manufacturing, because I have different organizations I'm going to be working with that, and I need more information about it. Pick books that look interesting to read. Go to Barnes & Noble, spend an hour, and really look at things. The reason why I say put this on your educational plan or your first 30 days is you're going to need time to chill. But unless you have something to do that you feel is helping your cause, chilling will be hard because you'll be excited. So if you have educational books, if you plan on getting some books like this, number one, it gets you out of the house and away from all the 100 meetings that you're going to be getting. Okay. And you get to choose something that is yours, that you can do on your own free time. It's going to feel in the beginning, folks, like you're literally being pulled all directions, because you've got to make so many decisions, pretty critical decisions, right in the beginning. So it doesn't matter one tiny bit what you put on your plan. It really doesn't. What matters is that you have a plan and that you have a reason for doing what you're doing, and that you're moving forward, okay? The people that are waiting for Godot, waiting for the family manager, waiting for all that stuff, they're doing the same thing you're doing, but they're not giving any indication that it's important enough for them to try to do something on their own. It's that try, okay? It's try. I can't emphasize more how important it is to funding people, or to people that are looking at you for, you know, can you handle this? Can you do this? We know you don't have any skills, and we know the colleges are full of shit and they don't really teach you jack shit anything. What they can't teach you is drive. They can't teach you passion. They can't teach you desire. Drive, passion, and desire is what's got you to actually start doing documents. Drive, passion, and desire has got you to want to be a humanitarian. Those things cannot be taught. Wyatt, I need you to turn your speaker off, please. Those things cannot be taught. And you can't tell somebody, I have drive, passion, and desire. Oh yeah, okay. If you did, you would be doing this, that, or the other. What you're doing by filling out these documents and having them there is you are literally showing drive, passion, and desire. They know you don't know. But they know if it's important, you'll try. That's what you're doing. You may get these 10-day, 30-day plans, and you may think, this is what I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. You show them the 10-day, 30-day plan, and they look at these plans, and they go, ha, 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 ha. He's not going to have to do any of that, because the team we're going to give him is going to help him do all that. How awesome that he thought this through so detailed that he understands what he needs. We're just going to give him all of that in one or two people or in one company. That's what you're doing, is you're showing it. It's one thing to say, I can play baseball. It's another thing to step up there, crack your hat on right, get both feet, dig them into the ground, do that little gizmo where they wind them up with a baseball bat, and the baseball comes to you, and you hit that son of a bitch so hard that the crack can be heard across the entire stadium of people, and that ball flies in the air, and it goes way the hell out over that back fence, because that's where it has to go, and you do a run around the base. There's one thing to say, I know how to hit a home run. And it's another thing to say, hey, here's the movie of my home run. That's what you're doing. So I get people, my customers, my clients, when I would do this with my clients, I didn't do this with them because they turned into freaking basket cases and drove me nuts. And what happens is they stress, they, oh, it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. No, it does not. This is not about perfection. This is about showing you can play baseball rather than saying, hey, I know baseball. That's what you're doing. This whole audio file, this whole project, this whole program that I'm doing right now, that you're sitting here listening to, you're doing amazing, by the way. You guys are amazing. That you're sitting here listening to, the only thing that you have to know is that you just have to do it. You need the confidence to know that all you're doing is showing that you can play baseball. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. It doesn't matter. Not at all. That's not what they're looking at. They're not looking to see if you have a brand new uniform on. They're not looking to see if you've played baseball 100,000 times. They're not looking to see any of that. They're just looking to see, do you know how to hit the ball? Even if you're completely, totally wrong, you are showing, here is my plan. This is how I hit the ball. This is what was missing. And they took my document, the business plan that you saw, where it said year one, year two, all of the questions that they asked this guy was about that only tiny bit of the program that they turned in, his project that he turned in. He did not turn in this plan. He did take it in to, I guess, the next day or the day after he met with somebody with one of the wealth management teams. And they had told him that this is what he should have turned in at the meeting. So I hope that helps you. The whole reason I'm talking about this now is you need the confidence to know that you're perfect. You need the confidence to know that you are going to be guided to write in this document. All the ideas that you have for your project, all of that will come to you when you're sitting there. And if you do the steps I tell you, look at your project, take it apart step by step, figure out what you're going to need in that first 90 days and plug it into this document anywhere. Figure out what's really important to you. Me, I have to have a private banker. I need a personal assistant and I need a security team. That's what I'm going to do my first 10 days. I'm probably going to most of this stuff I'm going to change anyway. Figure out what's important to you. You're showing them you, what's important to you. When you go in for your second meeting, they're going to take this plan and then they're going to make it real, because that's when you're going to meet with your wealth management team, your temporary change team, and they're going to help you figure out exactly what you need to do for the first 90 days. After 90 days, you probably will have your CEO in place. You'll probably be moving, and your transition team will have you moved into the right people. So I hope this helps you. I hope this takes away your fear and concern over doing this 10, 90, 10, 30, and 90-day plan.
Does anybody have any questions?
I do.
I just wanted to say, in the future, there's got to be an opportunity to give you a hug or a high five. All right, so I'll go offline and let someone else talk.
Well, J-Bone, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want to help me when you get to be a multimillionaire, I have a project that I want to give Harley Davidson's away to veterans. So if you like my work and you become a multimillionaire, please set aside $20,000 and send me a Harley, and I will put your name on it and I will give it away to a veteran. That will be my hug. And the lady that wanted to say something?
So I know you said that we, the guy that you helped before, this should have been turned in the first meeting. I'm confused on when we're supposed to give him this 10, 30, 90 day plan. Oh, I know you said you give him the first two papers.
Okay, great question. So you're gonna do your interview, and you're gonna do your presentation. You're not showing them this plan yet, okay? You finish your entire presentation, and if you have not already given them the document, this 10, 30 day plan, if you're doing multiple projects where you're gonna give them the binder at the end of the conversation, this plan is in the very back of that binder, okay? If you're going to give them the binder in the beginning, because you have one project for your humanitarian project and one project for your family plan, you don't give them this 10-day plan yet. You do your entire presentation, and then after your presentation is done, you say, I have a 10, 30, and 90-day plan for startup. Would you like to see it? That's like bait, okay? That's just bait. They're gonna say yes. The reason why you don't give that to them in the beginning is, again, it's going to be more papers for them to look through and not pay attention to you. So if you're giving them the document in the beginning because you have one or two projects, then do not give this to them. Do your whole presentation and then ask, by the way, I have a 10-day plan, a 30-day plan, and a 90-day plan for my project. Would you like to see it? Give it to them. When you're doing the booklet where you've got six projects, in the back of the booklet, you're going to put this 10-day plan. You're going to do the index. You're going to give them the index, and then they're going to finish, you know, you're going to finish your thing. Finish in 7 minutes. Then that last minute, you're going to give them the booklets with all the projects. And then you say, oh, by the way, at the back of this booklet is a 10-day, a 30-day, and a 90-day startup plan for my humanitarian projects. They're going to be shocked when you say that. When I've done this with my clients, when they've pitched for companies, God, I shouldn't say this. I'm so fucking evil. There were clients I never told this to, because the clients fucking pissed me off badly, and I am a redhead. And if my clients make me mad, I don't tell them all the information. I tell them only what I'm paid to tell them. This is not stuff I'm paid to tell them. This is a lot of information that is extremely important, because it shows a plan of action.
Folks, phone just ran dead for Parker. So hold on, maybe she can come back on the line.
Yeah, I've got my second phone. We're still recording. I was so excited about talking to you. I wasn't paying attention to the little flashy thing that said, hey, dummy, you're running out of power. So I'm on the other account now, but I can finish this. Dang it, I lost my train of thought. This is your secret weapon, folks. In every single client that I ever showed them this thing and had them pull it out, and you don't pull it out at the beginning, it's absolutely at the end. Every single client I've ever done this with and taken the time to do what I'm doing right now, 100% of the time they've been funded.
I didn't always tell people this because, like I said, I was terrible. I was a cranky bitch. But you are my soldiers of God. We're going to go out there. We're going to change the world and make it wonderful. So I need you to know every trick in the book. You're my humanitarian army. I want you to go out there and kick ass and take names. So I need to tell you everything. So I know I'm ridiculous, but I have a lot of fun at it. This works, folks. You pull it out at the very end, or when you give them your booklet, you say, hey, this document's at the end. And it just is another layer of how much you care put in a visual point. You can say, I'm ready, I want to do this, this is my dream. You can say it all you like, but when you say, here, this is my dream, this is my steps to my dream, I need you to just approve this so I can do shit, they're all in. And it's a part about, I believe that a lot of this RV is, they need to know who you are, they need to feel you, they need to know, are you really actually thinking about it? If you didn't really give a shit, you would not be sitting here listening to this boring redhead tell you what the fuck to do. You actually care, because if you weren't here listening, you wouldn't care about these documents. Just doing this, listening to this, and going to try to attempt this, or attempting and succeeding this, that shows your level of care. There are literally thousands of people that this information of this class went out to. And we got 45 people who give a shit. Take the time, folks, and do this. This is a massive help to you. I just want you to be successful. I just want you to be wildly, wildly successful. I want you to be able to do your own dreams. I want you to make sure that you have scaffolding around you. I want to make sure that you have a team around you. Hire a CEO, hire a team to help you. I want you to be successful. Because if you're successful, you're literally going to change your life. You're going to change the lives of the people that need you. You're going to change your state. You're going to change your city. You're going to change your nation. And you're going to change the globe. It's that important. So this is the reason why I sit here and I make a fool out of myself talking to you guys. But I love what you're about to do. I love that you're listening to your heart and you're doing what's passionate to you, because that's what's really going to change everything. So does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, real quick, I want to apologize to a couple of people because I deleted their questions because I know it throws you off, and I sent them both DMs and apologized and just said, please wait till she's done speaking and feel free to ask your questions.
Oh, God bless you, Jim, because that really screws me up. So I love you, Jim, you know.
Well, Christy and Cotton Candy, if you have any questions. Or anyone else?
I do have a question.
Go ahead, Christy.
So the question in the chat was, you had resent an incorrect document, and you did resend the 10-30-90, but I think you've revitalized that since then. So if you could possibly send the final copy of the revision, that would be awesome. But you alluded to the fact, well, on day three, it says, or no, day two, you open different accounts for currency. If we do different accounts for currency for projects, does that cover also governance? And you alluded to the fact that you bought different currency for specific projects. Therefore, did you buy currency for your family governance? Thereby, do you open separate accounts for each family governance project that you have, not just a global humanitarian?
Okay, wow. I don't know what they're going to let us do. So because I don't know, I'm guessing. And because when I first wrote this, I didn't have a freaking clue what I was going to write. So I just started writing up all kinds of things to fill up the page. So I actually am planning on opening up a different account for each currency, because I don't do, with my dyslexia, I have a really serious problem with money. So I can't track it unless it's in one single pot. I can't put all the currencies together and decide here, where, and the other. Now, my financial team and your financial team may have some totally other different plan. I'm just putting on there, this is just me. This was just me starting it out to have some kind of information on here. I believe what I've been told is that if your project's accepted, it will be funded, and so will your family governance. So because I believe my family governance is going to be funded, I'm expecting them to give me funds to fund my family governance. But I don't know. I don't know how that's going to be. So I probably should have written, put a family governance thing on there. I was just putting things in, trying to come up with stuff for this project. So that when I put the first document out, it would have some kind of information on there to give you an idea of kind of how to start things. That's all. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. The only other comment I would like to make is, because I am in construction, and if you're trying to find the definition of scaffolding, you have to look at it in relation to teaching, because when I use scaffolding in construction, I couldn't figure out how to implement that into what you were saying.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness. Yes, I meant scaffolding as far as education. No, we're not building a platform to put sheeting on the roof, but I understand why you were confused. I apologize. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, absolutely mean scaffolding education, not scaffolding for construction. Is there any other question that you have, ma'am?
I just have a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ms. Parker, I want to personally thank you. You did help me with my projects last week, and I'm grateful. It was easy. I mean, it takes time to do it, people, but if you listen and look at the documents, it gets easy. And with my projects, you'll definitely get a Harley from me, Ms. Parker.
Yay!
It fits right in with my project, so you'll be getting one.
Good deal. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Here comes.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
In reference to your 10, 30, and 90 day, I have 6 projects. 4 with EOs, 2 with my family governance. So that there's 2 of the EOs that are in the United States. So do we need to start with the in the United States and then branch out with another project that'll be globally? Or do we need to start with the global one if we're having a family governance?
When you're looking at, that's a great question. You're going to have start dates of projects. You should not be starting every project all at the same time. So on your 10-day, 90-day, 30-day plan, whichever project you're going to start first, that's the only thing you write about. If you're not doing another startup or another starting, you know, if you've got 4 or 5 projects, you're not going to start them all at once. So you're only going to focus on the 1 or 2 on that first 1 or 2 projects. Everything else is going to be past 90 days. So you'll have a wealth management team, you'll have your CEO, you'll have all your business people, all your humanitarian people in place by then.
So you think our family governance will be accepted if it's an EO project, even though it's not global to start off with?
Your family governance I haven't heard anybody say that there's a requirement for it to be global. Most family governances are local in their state or in their community. Some have humanitarian aspects that go worldwide, but that's kind of rare. My family governance is, is all dealing with all my inventions and my agribusiness stuff. My family governance is not really going to go much outside of the United States. My global projects will go worldwide.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it's different for everybody. Just because that's what I want to do doesn't mean that you can't do something different. It's your dream. Anybody have any other questions?
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
For the family governance.
I can barely hear you. Can you speak closer to the microphone?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I was just wondering if, is it possible to have two family governance?
Yes, but I believe one would be funded by when you had your humanitarian project, but I don't think they would fund a second one. And that's actually a really interesting question, because if you're having two family governances because it's two completely different families, what I would suggest is you not do that. I would suggest that you do a family governance with both families tied together and use a family governance trust that you're separated, that you're each individually, but you're working hand in hand, because that learning curve that you're going to go through as a new family governance, if you have both teams working together and in 4 years or 5 years, you split apart because you've kept your trust separately, then it will help you tremendously with the learning curve that it's going to take for family governance. If the projects have absolutely nothing to do with each other, you can still put them together, because governance is not just about the projects, but it's about teaching the next generation. It's about a bunch of different things besides just the business itself. There's a lot of things that you need to learn, and it's a lot easier if you have a bigger group than a smaller group. You can do it either way, but I just wanted you to know that if you run it, like I'm going to do a family governance, I'm going to run it tandem. My best friend, he's my best friend, and we're not related at all. And I know that he's a younger man. He's a good person, and he's very happily married. And I know that eventually, we're not related. He's my friend, so I'm setting him up to do a family governance. He's going to be involved in my family governance with his projects. We'll run them tandemly, but we'll have all the meetings together. We'll run everything as if we're one company. All the education classes, all the things that will be provided to the family governance, we'll do them the same. It's just me, and I don't even know if my daughters are going to be involved. He's got a much bigger family. So in 5 years, we'll separate, because we'll have both gotten the education aspects that we needed out of family governance, and my grandchildren should be of an age that can be involved by then. So we'll separate, but even though our programs are totally different, there's a great deal of the family governance that crosses over to both sides. I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have questions? If you've got a question that you think you want to ask, there's probably others that still want to know the same thing, and they're chicken to ask. So please, if you have a question, ask. I think Cotton Candy had a question that she asked and didn't get answered. So if you're there, please let me know what it was. Well, folks, it looks like we're all done.
Hi, Parker. I have a question, please.
Sure, Lisa.
I've been cramming all these audios in a week, and I remember you saying something about you want to be an enigma.
Yes.
You don't really want people to be able to track you.
Correct.
Yet, with the family governance, won't everybody know?
Well, I don't plan on being the CEO of my company. I'm going to be head of research and development. So people are not, everybody that knows me knows everything I have is based around cannabis or named around cannabis. So when I start my family governance, like you're seeing Relaxed Trust. That's the name I was going to name it. I was like, no, I'm going to change it. So the people that know me, that I don't want to know what's going on, they're not going to have any idea. They're going to think, oh, well, she's just sold one of her inventions. No big deal. The people that know are people like you, people that are going to be on the board. I'm going to have a website up for us to maintain information and link across. You guys are going to know who I am. You're only 45 people. So that's the safety of having, you know, a smaller group and being a ghost. But I'm going to be producing audio files, and I'm going to be producing other things. I'm going to try to be out of the limelight as much as possible. But the problem is I'm an inventor. And so if I hit something and it nails it out of the park, there's going to be stories written about that project. So I'm going to try to be an enigma and be in the shadows as much as possible. But my transplanter machine, the current transplanters, they cost $250,000. And my machines are going to be $40,000. So I have a feeling that I can be as silent as I can until that invention comes out. I'm expecting it to go nuts. So I'm going to try to be as quiet as possible, because I know that when some of this stuff comes out, I mean, my cost for security is going to double and triple, because people are going to know who I am. So be an enigma. It costs you way less money.
With your family governance, have you met with every single person and ask if they want to be a part of this?
No. I have not. My friend LP, his family thinks he's crazy. He has 7 brothers, and they are all going to be in part of his family governance. The projects I have, I'm pretty sure that most of his brothers are going to be one involved in that. The people that I am waiting for is my grandchildren. I don't know if my kids are going to get involved. So LP doesn't even know I'm planning to do any of this. But I know him. I know his brothers. I know his dad. I know his whole family. I'm adopted. My adopted family did not treat me well at all. His family has treated me like one of their own. They're more like my family than my own family is. There are people in my admin team that I'm going to ask to be in part of my family governance, because they're more like family than my own family are.
Oh, the family governance is kind of fluid.
Very fluid. You're going to have, okay. If you listen to the family governance chat, you're going to see there's multiple sides to family governance. It's not just your own people. It's you're going to have business managers, non-owning managers, influencers. There's a lot of different positions than just family. And that what happens is, when you start it out, there'll be a lot of different people that are not owners or not family members that will be involved in it. And as your family gets older, you start putting those people in those places. And then pretty soon it's your entire family.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. That I'm not, you really shouldn't listen to me with that, because I have never had a family big enough to be able to fill a family governance. So I've talked to family governance people, and that's how they've explained it to me. The last time I talked to somebody personally about starting this was about 8 years ago. So I don't know if things have changed. I'm assuming they have not, which is why I'm saying the things I'm saying. But they encouraged me because I was the same way. I'm like, you know, I don't have enough family members. And they're like, no, run them side by side. And that way, you know, do you have a friend that has a big family that you want to work with? Yeah. Are they in this invention thing too? Yeah. Run them side by side. That way it's more fun, because if it's just me, it's just me going to all these classes and these, you know, finance education classes. If it's me with my friend, we're going to have a lot more fun. So that's what I was planning to do. And then I invested in a hyperbaric grow operation, and we got put underwater by Hurricane Harvey, and I lost everything. So all the plans I made went down literally into the ocean. So that's what I was setting up, and it didn't come to fruition. So a lot of the information that I researched 8 years ago, I'm now revising and updating and making sure it's still current.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question for me.
You betcha.
Okay. I basically have one type of project that I'm going to be having in three or maybe four different countries.
Beautiful. So, congratulations.
MedBed Healing Center specifically.
Beautiful.
Now, I don't think it's necessary to have a CEO for each separate one, maybe a CEO to overall for everything. Yeah.
You're correct. What you are going to have is one person in charge of facilities. So that can be either, you can name that person a president of that organization or COO, chief operating officer.
COO, okay. And possibly human resources, separate ones for U.S. and other countries and et cetera down the line, one CEO.
Right now, when you start hiring people from out of country, you need to work within that country that you're hiring.
Right.
Do not use a U.S.-based hiring company. Use a hiring company out of the country that you're going to. When you get into your wealth management team, let your wealth management team, on your 10-day plan, this is what you need to do. On your wealth management team, you need to find an international wealth management team that can help you find an international people to work for you. There's going to be all kinds of rules and regulations that you're completely unaware of because every country is different.
And that leads towards one of my other couple questions was, as far as my financial advisor, financial team and stuff, I'm probably going to do my RV here in a small city, a large town. But one of my projects, my other project here in the States is going to be in Austin, Texas, which is, of course, huge. There's going to be, I'm wondering if I should put my financial management team and my, you know, my wealth manager, everything out of that Austin, because there's so much a bigger reach, population to pull from.
If I had an option of a little city to a big city, I'm going to pick a big city every day for that kind of services. Because you have a lot more diversity.
Okay, I'm having difficulty doing my RV in the big city though. So should it be easy to transition once I do my RV to move my operations to the big city?
Yeah, because when you go to when you RV, you're going to tell them, hey, I'm going to run my company out of this, I'm going to run my company out of this place. And they'll be able to advise you with people in that area.
Okay, great.
Like say you're in Plano, Texas, and you want to go to Austin. You RV in Plano, and when you're RVing, they're going to say, hey, your wealth management team. Then at that point, you say, I'm actually going to go to Austin. So I need a transition team in Austin. And I believe at that point, they'll help you find somebody in Austin or have you reach out to an Austin crew. I don't know. We've never done this before. That's why I'm more inclined to, if you can possibly go to the place where you're going to be stationed at, do it. Me, I can't. I'm gonna work out of a totally different state, and I can't afford to go to that state to RV there. So I'm in the same position you are, where I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna say, here's my RV, but I wanna work out of this area. I'm not here because I don't wanna be coming back and forth. So I'm assuming that they'll have solutions for all of us when we get there, or at least have an answer. I hope that helps.
I have one more question. On day two, number, okay. On number, or day two, number 10, go over emergency funds list, the emergency funds list. That's the personal emergency funds list. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Thank you so much for all your help.
It doesn't have to be in this order. This is just, I was just putting stuff in there, trying to come up with stuff before I started this. I knew I was going to pull up those documents and then walk you through how I do my documents so you could see, you know, so you could get an actual real life, this is how I'm thinking, this is what you're doing, this is, you know, just suggestions. I hope that helps.
Perfect. Yep, thank you so much. Perfect.
I love being perfect. Ha ha ha. I cracked myself up too. Is there anybody else have a question?
Well, I don't know how realistic this is, but I have a dream of doing lots of stuff, powerful stuff, internationally as well as here. I've lived most of my life internationally. I've been involved in creating networks in war zones for humanitarian. It was very, very organic. But I have a dream of doing everything anonymously. I just want my freedom.
Then get yourself a badass banker that wants to take all the credit. Get yourself a CEO with a massive ego that wants to take all the credit. Or hire somebody to be the face of your company.
Right.
That's the easiest way. Using the banks because they're real into getting their name out and getting positive positive feedback from the community, because they're more than willing to take the credit for your money because it makes them look better in the community.
Yeah. The other thing, speaking of grandchildren, one idea that I had was, I wanted to bounce this off on you. I was thinking of giving family members the option of creating a project, in their own community. I've got a huge cousins and all kinds of people, and a lot of them are doing really humanitarian stuff already in their own little communities, but I mean, they've never had the funding, right?
So yeah, I'm absolutely doing that, because I have people that don't even know they're going to be a part of a project.
Right. So what nobody I did in my family knows that, anything. Yeah.
In my plan is, I said, I put 50 million aside for this person to start a project. I'm putting 20 million aside for this person to start. And I pick the numbers based on knowing them. Like, I know this one daughter, she would like to have an art gallery. That's 20 million. I know this other daughter, she wants to work with satellites. So fuck, how expensive? 50 million must be a satellite. I have no idea. So I'm just putting arbitrary numbers because I know they're going to want to do something, but they don't think Trump is their president. So until they, you know, choke that blue pill and start swallowing a red pill, they're, you know, they're a lost cause.
Yeah.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's helpful. Let's see. I'm trying to read my own notes here. I mean, what's your personal feeling about how much time you're going to give to this, say, per day, ideally? Because the reason I ask this is because one of my friends who's been a manager and all kinds of oil business and all kinds, his goal is to spend a couple of hours a day on this. And he's loaded. I mean, it's going to be amazing. But I mean, I guess that's going to require amazing delegation, right? How what's realistic?
when you ask me, are you asking me how long am I going to work on the sample plan, or how long do I plan on working every day when my project's up and running?
Yeah, I'm just asking you what you think is realistic. We have these huge dreams. I mean, I've accomplished a lot in my life, as I'm sure you have. But he's putting this out a couple of hours a day, and I'm thinking, okay, how realistic is that, you know?
A couple hours a day?
Yeah.
I want to do this more than I can breathe. So I'm pretty sure that my friends are going to be pulling me out of the office after 14, 15-hour days. That's
I've always been a workaholic, so that's a challenging notion to me. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I've been around a long time. Okay.
The thing is here's what happens is when, man, this is a fucked up thing to say. I'm 63 years old. I have multiple inventions. I've been very wealthy. The feds, when you grow weed, they don't like you and they take it all away. I've lost my money twice. Got it back up third time. This is now going to be my fourth time. And as at this age, I have some major, major, major regrets. When my husband died, I was running 3 major corporations when my husband died. And we had a nanny, and we had some other household help. And my first clue should have been when the nanny asked me if she could take the kids to swim, and I realized I didn't even know if my own kids could swim. My work took me all over the United States. I was traveling 270 days a year. My husband and I had a plan that we would spend our years raising the kids on the ranch. And then when we got into our gray years, we'd go live on the ocean. We had an opportunity to make a tremendous amount of money in a very short time because of the skills I have. So we sat down and we talked about it, and we decided that I would run. We were going to retire when we were 40. We were making that much money. My husband died when I was 36. I didn't stop. I was so afraid of not having enough money, not being able to take care of my kids, not being able to put enough food on the table. I was terrified. I worked, didn't stop. I hired more help. And what I did is I worked my entire life away. I didn't take any vacations in 20 years. I didn't think I could. I'm not doing that anymore. And it's probably going to be the hardest thing I ever did. The past 5 years, after Hurricane Harvey hit, have been the hardest 5 years of my life because I'm not working. It's a huge realization to realize that I chased my passion as hard as I could to save my family, and I lost my family. I didn't spend enough time with my kids. I didn't spend enough time with people that mattered. And I'm not going to do it now with my humanitarian project. I had this invention. I've had this invention since I was 43. And I've driven myself to insanity trying to raise
the $60, $70 million I need to launch my pot company. These pots are literally going to change how farming is done, all kinds of stuff. So when you ask me how many hours you're going to work, when work is not work, is when it's fun. And when it's fun, it's like a hobby. You don't want to quit doing it because it's a fucking blast. And then when you're getting your needs met, either financially or through humanitarian actions, you tend to not quit. I didn't have anybody in my life that said, hey, Parker, it's time to stop. I didn't have anybody in my life that said, you don't need to do this. You can sell your inventions and make enough money and do it that way. When you do what you absolutely love, you'll give up everything to do it. I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to set time. I'm going to work no more than 4 days a week. I'm not going to work any more than 8 hours a day. Could I work more? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But until I was in a position, I mean, growing weed was something else. That was great. But when I got into the corporate world and I was starting companies and I was making companies vertical and I was literally changing people's incomes, I was making people millionaires by teaching them how to run businesses, how to start businesses, how to make their current business completely vertical. Getting a contract and saying, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to build it and turnkey, where I literally finished the entire project, walked to the guy and gave him the keys to his building where there was raw dirt, no power, no electrical. That is the most amazing feeling in the world. And because I had run so hard so long, I didn't quit. So if you are, you already told this on yourself. You told me that you were in a hotel waiting for the RV. That tells me, you don't even have to tell me, that you are a type A personality, that you can't wait for this to happen so badly that you're in a hotel ready to run. I'm going to tell you right now, Silver Feather, don't do it. Limit your time. Don't spend every waking moment on your project. Don't work your life away. Take time for yourself. Take time for your family. Take time to put your toes in the sand. Because everything that you're doing is going to still be there even after you're gone. And if you run yourself ragged, you don't get to realize any of the results or the rewards. So don't work too many hours. Don't stay past 5 o'clock. Don't get there before 8 o'clock. Delegate. Find people that you trust. Have your security team do background checks. Do background checks on, if you're going to hire a CEO, do a background check on him. Do a background check on his wife. Do everything you can to secure that the people that you place in positions of trust and power are worth those positions. And then you guide this whole show. What you're there for is to have the vision. That's what God is telling you, is you have the vision. You're supposed to be here at this point in life. That's where your biggest importance is your vision. you know what is wrong. You know what needs to be fixed. So your job is to hold that vision and to make sure that the funds that you have complete that vision. Your job is not to drive yourself to death working on a project that makes you feel fantastic. Your job is to hold the vision. So don't do it. Don't work over much. Don't do it. Plan on times for you. Actually plan vacation time. Plan, if you can't stand to go do that much vacation, plan a week-long event of an educational event or a conference or something that's going to give you some pleasure. But take time for yourself and make serious.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because I've had the luxury of doing what I love my whole life, and it's wonderful. And so work is, you know, it's not work when you love it, right? But in the last 6 years since I've been involved, well, actually it's 8 years since I knew about this, but since I had the finances, I started investing was 2016 and started learning, but I had so much to learn about this whole financial area and everything else. I mean, global stuff, that I got in trouble with my family for neglecting them. So
I knew it. I already knew it.
So I really have to give a lot of time to my family and just enjoy life as well, to make up for the last 6 years. But it's been a lot of fun. I've learned so much. Been to a lot of seminars with people like us, and put in the time and done the homework. Worked on the dreams and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I need to get my priorities a little bit better. So, and you know, everybody
you were in a hotel waiting for this to go off, I was like, damn it, she's doing exactly what I want to do. I'm like, oh, okay, no, I'm actually, like, I've been planning since October of how I was going to start my project. First day I get out of there, blah, 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 blah. And a friend of mine is like, Parker, you really need to go stick your toes in the sand. And I'm like, no. And now it's like, no, I'm stressed as fuck. This is taking way longer than I thought. My nerves are shot. It kills me every day of my life knowing that they're killing kids. And so I just want it to stop. So I know that I am way too stressed out right now to even do a good job at starting. So I'm actually planning on taking a vacation, literally putting my toes in the sand. And I haven't done that in 25 years.
Right. Well, I'm 3 miles away from the ocean, and I've been in this particular location, having been in a, having been in big trouble financially as well, because I gave everything away because I didn't know this is going to take so long. So I'm 3 miles away and I haven't been to the ocean yet. I mean, I've been shacked up, you know, working 16 hours a day on my plans. And
so here is your order. Okay. Tomorrow you're going to get up and you're going to go to the beach and you're going to stay there for 2 hours, just 2 hours. Okay.
Yeah. I can
and
walk
there. Tell me how wonderful it is tomorrow. Okay.
I've been saying I'm going to do this for several months and I haven't gotten around to it yet.
You're going to, when you get a personal assistant, you're going to have to tell your personal assistant, hey, look, you need to book time for me to take time off. Otherwise I won't do it.
Right. Exactly. Okay? Yeah. So yeah, that's, I'm sure everybody in this room is excited about what they're, this passion as I am about what's coming. And so I'm sure everybody's going to have to deal with this issue of, you know, taking time off and just enjoying life, you know, because as JFK Jr. has said many times in our discussions in the last several years, live your highest inspiration, greatest joy. All you have is now. all you have is now. No, you're promised no more than now.
Yep.
So
thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have a question?
Yes. Yes, I still have that one last question I want to ask, please.
Oh, damn it, Tim. I'm sorry. I messed that up for you there, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay. Because I want to try to remain as much as a ghost as possible for the reason you've been talking about last few minutes, spend more time with my family and enjoy life with them. We'll be hoping hiring the perfect CEO to manage everything. But how do I make sure that I still retain absolute control over everything?
I'm going to tell you the really wrong answer, Tim. It's because you have fuck you money. You hold this purse. You hold the purse. You don't give control of your finances away. The CEO, your wealth management team, you don't give away your power. Your power is in that money. So no matter what you do, no matter what anybody tells you, you do not give full control, full financial control of that company, your CEO.
I make that lawfully clear?
Oh, you don't have to make it lawfully clear. You make it clear with your dollars. You say it. This is me. Let's see. All right, Mark, I need to hire you to run this 250-acre farm. Your budget is $250,000. Any purchase over $5,000, I need you to come to me. All of our checks are dual sign off, so you'll need to have her, you know, permission. This is part of our fiduciary control that we have on the business. Do you have any problems with that? No, ma'am, have none. Yeah, ma'am, have some. Here's the door. Bye. Don't let it hit you in the ass.
I would make it clear in the contract I have with the CEO, and as like a project charter.
They're used to this, Tim. They're not going to be offended at all.
Okay.
What you do is you say all financial purchases over $5,000 require dual signature, and I am one of those signers. That way you're telling him you don't get to do shit unless I agree with you. Now, if he comes to you, and this is what CEOs will do, is they'll come to you and they'll tell you the sky is fucking falling unless you pay for this thing, okay? He'll scare you and make you think everything's totally bad. If your CEO ever does that to you, immediately go to your security team and have your CEO checked out. If your CEO is pushing you all the time over emergencies, he's not the right one. Your CEO, after you hire, when in the interviewing process, that's what I should do, is I should talk about how to hire a CEO. In your interviewing process, you're going to ask him, you're going to ask him to make a budget for the project and give it to you. You've already made a budget and your wealth management team has already made a budget. What you're trying to see is, does he actually have a handle on what he's about to do? So if he makes a budget for the project, you're going to compare that budget with the wealth management teams. That's going to be the fastest way for you to tell if this guy is the right guy for you, because there's not really a lot of ways to skin a cat. There's, you know, you got to kill the cat, you got to remove the skin. Okay. It's the same thing. There's not a lot of ways to do the right thing. So his number should come back pretty close to what your wealth management team says. Now, if he's got different numbers, then you take that budget that he's written and you tell your wealth management team, hey, why do you think he came up like this and why is his prices cost lower? They'll be able to look at it and give you an answer. So the money thing and how they run the money, that's often a really good way to have an invisible, visible look at how a guy runs a company. How good is he with budgeting?
Okay.
Usually those guys go right back to that same thing I said earlier. Usually those kind of CEOs will have a CFO. That will be a team guy, because you'll say those things to him and he'll go, yep, 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 yep. He'll get home and he'll call his buddy who's the CFO and he'll say, hey, they need this. And you'll have a CFO do all the documents, give it to him, and he'll give it to you. And he won't tell you that he called the CEO to do it. That's how they work as a team.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Does anybody else have a question?
How are we going to know how to contact you when we have this Harley to donate to?
Oh, it'll be easy. I'll be on the website.
Okay.
I'll have a website. I'm writing. I will have a website written and up for this group. And there's actually, I've done this for two other groups. And so the website will be for all the people that I've helped with their projects. And you guys will have access to my foundation, so you'll be able to get a hold of me.
How soon will you have that up? And one last thing is I wanted to say, I'm so glad that after 20 years of a dream, it looks like you're finally going to have that pod invention come to fruition.
I'm going to feed the world, Tim. I'm not joking. as soon as I write websites, so I've got most of it done right now. And when the RV happens, I'll be posting the website link in our channel. This channel will be shut down to conversation during the NDA time. I will still be continuing to post information in it. And I believe that I'm going to have programs written to post for you guys for stuff that you're going to need. Once I go through the RV, I'm going to have a good idea of what I should produce for you guys to help you through the transition. Because I'm not going to say anything that's going to break our NDA, but I may go in there and find out, hey, they don't tell you how to find this, that, or the other. So I'm going to give information on, hey, this is a way to do this, or hey, this is a way to do that. Once I go through the RV, I'm going to have a lot more information about what kind of audio files I need to produce for this channel. I'll have a website open, and you'll be able to join the website. I don't know how we're going to do this yet, because I know the QFS is going to come into play, but I believe that the quantum system that's coming up is going to be able to vet people somehow. So I believe that, I'm hoping that my fears about security are going to be alleviated with the new inventions that come out. And I'm sure that's going to take a couple of years, but I fully plan on having in probably 2 years, probably a year and a half, I plan on putting on the internet, on the website, a meet and greet for everyone that I've helped with their project. And setting that up as an event, but it's just for the people that are in these two channels, because these two channels will be locked down. Nobody will be able to join them after the RV event.
Are you planning on going in right away when you get your notification, like as soon as possible?
I am planning to sit at the front door of the U-Haul business. The day, if we get a phone call at 9 o'clock at night, I will be packing all my shit and walking up to the U-Haul business. And I'll wait the second they open up to be in there, and so I can go to my RV. Yes, ma'am. The second I can go in. Other people say, Parker, you're nuts. give them a day, go the second day. That way they have time if they make mistakes, if they screw up, you know, they get the bugs out. I'm like, bugs my ass, I'm going. I'm ready. I've been ready for 20, 30 years. So let's go.
What's your other channel?
It is 911 Project Help, and it's a locked channel. You can't get into it. It is the exact same thing as this one. What's happened is I was asked by RV Highlights to help her turtles do their projects, and I had completely finished our 911 project help. That group is all their documents are done. They're just bored out of their minds waiting. So I was done. I thought I was completely done. I wasn't going to do any more projects. I wasn't going to do any more education. I thought I was done. And Lisa asked me, she said, can you help my turtles? And I said, I don't think we have enough time. And look what you guys have done. This group has been this. I've shoved information down the throats of this group. My other group, they got this education over a course of about 3 months. You guys have gotten everything in like 2-3 weeks. So I've done a lot of stuff that you guys have. I mean, I thought we'd have a lot less people on the channel. Instead, it got bigger faster because I've literally been trying to get information out to this group every single night to get you guys as ready as possible because I feel like you don't have time. So I'm in a real pushy bitch to you guys. Here, get your projects done now. Here, read this, listen to this, you know, because I think that you're running out of time. And so far we've gotten all the major stuff done. And now the audio files I'm doing is, okay, so you're in the event. How do you do this? How do you do that? And then you're going to come out, and now the education files are, the audio files about dealing with friends. It's not so focused on the doing the project, writing the project or the project information. There's going to be some more chats, I believe, that have some information like that, but it won't be as intense as the ones I've already done.
Speaking of timing, I don't know what you can disclose. Do you think we're still close, or what's your take on it?
I thought we were going to go the 4th. I have a person that is, he had a terrible thing happen to him. He was set to RV 2 weeks ago, and his visa was going to run out. So he had to leave the country and come back. He's in a different country. And in that country, his visa was going to run out before his RV date. So he went to Italy to get out of country for 24 hours, then come back. But when he came back, they put him in a COVID. They said, oh, you don't have a COVID shot, so you got to go into quarantine. You can't just come back. So he missed his RV. We believe he was one of the 650 that they chose in Europe to do a test. They did the 650. The information I have, I don't know if it's correct or not. I believe it's correct. You know, at this point, unless you know somebody personally, you can't vet it. But what I was told is that they let 650 people RV. And what they were doing was this was a test group. And it was going to go for 2 weeks to make sure that they could have access to their funds, that everything in the QFS worked, that everything was ready, and then release it to everybody else. But these few people not all of them were aware of what was going on. We believe he was one of those people, and he lost it. He lost his position. So when he got out of quarantine and did the RV, they wouldn't give him access to any money. He can see his money, but he has no access to it until the paymasters fund it. This other group of people they did fund. Well, this group was all infiltrated with deep state. So they clawed back all the money and they arrested lots and lots and lots of these people. So that's one of the reasons I believe this has got put back, is because when they opened up the test group, it had been infiltrated by deep state that were doing exchanges, and they, you know, they were just trying to get their hands on the money to do bad shit again, and that was stopped. So after he RV'd and was told that, you know, he doesn't have access to the money, he said, when can I get it? And one of the people, the facilities, they said it should be available on the 4th. Well, if it was available, that meant that we should have RV'd. So that's why I believed we were going to RV on the 4th.
he is literally sleeping on a park bench in another country because he doesn't have enough money to fly back to the Americas, and he doesn't have enough money to pay for a hotel. He's literally a billionaire sleeping on a bench. Nobody knows it. So I don't know if he's a billionaire or a millionaire. I don't know what number it is, but he had a lot of currency and he can't do anything. He's completely stuck and they know he's stuck. And he keeps getting told just a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. I'm literally having a very hard time sleeping because I believe it's going to any minute now. I mean, it's like I've been on here doing this chat with you. I've checked my email 3 times.
Was the quarantine, what country was it, required by the states or the other country?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to give you up my soul. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I mean, I'm wondering how hard it is to go internationally, because I refuse to do any of that stuff. I will not comply with anything.
The COVID thing is bullshit. It's just a way to control the world and right. kill all of them.
So right. But that's why that's
all going to change when we RV. Because they're going to announce to the world that what they're doing. I think when the 10 days, when they're doing the movies and announcing to the regular public, we'll be RVing. And so the truth of the COVID will come up and all this stupid shit will stop.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a heartbreaking story there. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was really rough because his whole family is like, what the hell, when can you get back?
Oh, that's appalling. Oh, what a nightmare. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel blessed to have a bed.
Yep. Is there anybody else that have questions?
Thank you. It's been very, very challenging. And I'm very grateful. You've really helped a lot.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else that have questions?
Can I ask one more?
Okay.
With the development of your website, will it have the ability for us to be able to utilize production, manufacturing, other humanitarians' dreams to maximize our projects like your POTS?
I'm actually figuring out how to do that right now. But my Parker POTS, if you guys are doing a grow facility, the only people that will be able to purchase Parker POTS at cost or like 10% above cost is the people that are in my website, in my RV that I've helped with their projects. My POTS will be, they're part of my family governance, not part of my global governance. The feed the world, the all the machinations and the logistics of getting those POTS worldwide is part of my global project. My family governance is doing all the invention and then making the POTS to put into these things. So, damn it, I'm so tired. I forgot what you just said.
The answer is yes.
So my POTS will be on retail sale to the agribusiness, the $440 trillion agribusiness. Because what I see is going to happen is that eventually, in 100 years or whenever our family governance monies run out from this event, that I am still going to want to give away POTS. So I'm setting myself up to have a retail sale and 80% of my profit go to give away POTS to countries that are starving. Or that need grow facilities, or that need education, growing educations, or need grow kits, whatever they are. But I'm planning on setting up my retail business so that I can fund the other stuff. All of you guys, if you have all the people that are in here, these two channels, if you have growing projects, you'll be able to order direct, and yet you'll be fine. As far as everything else, I believe there will be those of you that will come up and say, hey, I have a realty company that's here in Colorado that's great. Refer this person because they get it. I imagine there will be a list of vendors that we're going to vet and, you know, put out there and say, hey, this person, Christy used New York City's realtor, Jackie Chandler, and Jackie's a great person. And this is the deal she got. Here's Jackie's information. If you want to use her too, please let her know Christy sent her. I'm assuming I'm going to have that as well. Along with, we use this product in our materials company, and this vendor didn't treat us well. So it'll be a website where we'll have cross information of different products and stuff, but it'll also be a website that it will be ongoing information. And the first year and a half, you guys, we'll all need a lot of information. After that, you'll be good. You won't even probably hardly come to the website except for maybe to purchase from other members. But it'll be like our own little inside community. Eventually, I'd have one of my guys that write apps do an app so that if you're in this circle group of people, you can get pricing, special pricing from all of the different organizations that offer retail, wholesale, manufacturing. That's my end game goal.
So the answer is yes, we will be able to network.
Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm praying you'll do. Because it's really going to be hard, folks. You're going to find that if you don't network now, you're going to be so lonely because you'll lose all your friends. That's the only thing that sucks about getting wealthy is your friends won't be able to come play with you, and it'll be hard. So if you are networking with a group of people like we're doing right now, you will make friends with these people. We're all going to go up at the same time. So if we have interactions through the website or I'm going to have money, bitch. I'll absolutely be able to play. Somebody in channel said, would you be able to come play? Hell yeah. I'm planning to have fuck you money. that was going to crack me up. But yeah, I want you guys to be able to interact because when you lift, it's going to be hard. So I'm hoping that different ones of you are going to have grand openings. You're going to celebrate your new facility. You're going to say, hey, I'm having a, you know, a save the ocean grand opening. I'm having a, you know, we're going to feed the dirty pigeons in New York or whatever it is. You actually need people to show up for those things. This group, if you start acting as a total network, if all the people in this channel do this, what will happen is you will have, when they write stories, so they write, April C. had a grand opening event in Key Largo, Florida. Marlene showed up, the humanitarian that saves the ocean. Myalia showed up and she helps get footwear to people that don't have shoes. Jim showed up. You see what I'm saying? So the newspapers will write about you or your company, and that gives more boost to the person who's having the grand opening. If you guys actually interact with each other and do go to each other's events, it will make the whole group rise way faster than any other groups. And the reason being is from the media. One of the things that I got a big jump on is that I've had full advertising staffs, and I know the power of advertising. So if I tell you guys all my secrets, then you can use that same power. And when power is multiplied for a positive reason, it gets better and better and better. So my goal is to make you the best humanitarians I can make you, give you all the information I can give you, put all the best good stuff in front of you. You guys are going to have your own good stuff as well. If we all use that, it lifts all of us and it makes us all successful faster and stronger. If Silver Feather is using an organization or a group that rips her off, and Silver Feather says, hey guys, this is what happened to me with this company. We can go, oh yeah, fuck you guys. We're not doing business with you. If Silver Feather goes out and she goes to a materials company and they just bend over backwards to get her business, and she says, hey guys, I use this company and this is how good they were, we can support that. We'll be strong enough that we can say, hey, this business over here is a Patriot business and it's struggling. Can you focus on using their products? The power that we will have as a group is massive. The rest of the companies, SOW, they want you to send them all their information and they'll help you figure out what you can do for them. Ron Giles is even worse. They're going to tell you how you're going to use your money. That's not what we're doing. I want to empower every single one of you. By having a network of people, of powerful people, it just expands on what we can do. It opens doors that we can't open by ourselves. If I go to another country and say, hey, I want to bring these grow pots here. And by the way, I've got Silver Feather and she does water treatment plants. I've got Jim. He's got transportation issues that he can bring here to help. I've got Slick Jones. Slick Jones has home building that he can bring here. All of these massive titans in the industry, they all want to come talk to you when I come and bring pots to help your village grow. Do you think they're going to bend over backwards to do whatever we want? You bet your ass they will. As a group, as a power group, where we're working together to change the world, we'll be able to change way more than what we're doing on our own. Because when we open the door for one, we open the door for 971 humanitarians. We're not doing it on somebody else's dime. You are all standing on your own two feet, and you all got the guts to do it. The rest of the groups don't want that. They want to control you. They want your power. They want you to do what they want you to do. Fuck that. God didn't tell you, oh, go do what he wants to do. God said, hey, you're a humanitarian. You're going to change the world. This is what you're going to do. I'm going to find a way to bless you, and I'm going to get it, ring it in your ear. Hey, go get this currency. Go do this. Believe in God. Believe in President Trump. Believe that this is going to happen. And you did it. This is your dream, not somebody else's. Not mine. It's yours. Be the best you can be. If you think you can do one, you can do 10. There's nobody stopping you from doing what you want to do except yourself. That's the only thing, is you. I want to put as much scaffolding out there, not construction, as much information so that I can help as many people that want to be helped. You see me on the channel, I'm a fucking cranky bitch, boy. Somebody asked me for the same thing 3 or 4 times. It's like, you can't be here because you're going to just piss me off. Goodbye, you delete. I will bend over backwards to help you if you help yourself. If you don't help yourself, I haven't got no time for you. Those of you that are in here, you got moxie. You listen to the documents, you send me your documents, or you did it on your own. I don't care. But you're here and you're kicking it and you're taking names every day. I've done this podcast. I can't even speak right. And I see the same people in here. That's the core group. That's the people that are going to go someplace. You guys want this bad enough that you're here every single time I do this. And if you're not here, I get people like, where's your audio? That's passion, folks. You got touched on your heart to be here, to stand up at this time, to become a humanitarian, to change the world. And you're here. And I'm super, super grateful that you're here. God bless you. With that said, I'm going to stop this recording now, unless anybody has anything to ask. Thank you, folks. Thank you for being here. Heavenly Father, put your heavenly hands on the hearts of these amazing young humanitarians
that are about to step in to the dreams of their lives. May you guide them and help them when things get rough, Father. Amen.